Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we do praise you today for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf, that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. And Father, I pray that the sacrifice of Christ would become more and more precious to us as days go on, for it was his precious blood that was shed for our sins. So, Father, as we come to your word and the table, I pray that you'd open our eyes to see what you want us to see. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Starting at verse 17. This is the word of the Lord. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. And there must also be heresies among you, that they which be approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating each one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. For if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. As you know, we celebrate the Lord's Supper in the morning service on even-numbered months. I'm not sure who came up with it, but that's what we do. So February is 2, and then April is 4, and from so on. On the odd-numbered months, January, March, etc., we celebrate it in the evening service. So I think most of you know that. If you didn't, you've now been informed how we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Now, when we come to celebrating the Lord's Supper on a Sunday morning, I feel like it's very easy just to tack on the Lord's Supper to the end of the service. You know, it's 11:45, and your pot roast is done in the crock pot at home, and you sat for a lot of the morning if you come to Sunday school, and it could be easy to be distracted and feel rushed. Because Christ commands us to celebrate his supper, I think we should devote our time and our energy to it. And what I like to do 6 times a year in the morning service is to focus the service on communion. So when we have communion in the morning service on the even-numbered months, the service will be centered on communion. Well, what will that look like? Well, as we look through the New Testament, and specifically 1 Corinthians, there are 3 themes that run through the Lord's Supper. 3 themes that we need to remember. The first is that we remember our sin and Christ's death for us. That's the main purpose. Secondly, we are to rejoice. This is not just somber. We should rejoice that Christ has done it all. And then thirdly, the table shows our unity as the body of Christ. So those are the 3 themes that we see. Now, let me just briefly explain what those are and what we'll do to help us remember those three themes as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. So first is we are to remember our sin and Christ's death. Look at verse 24. These words are familiar to many of us. And when he, that's Jesus, had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new testament, the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." So at the baseline, this is remembrance. This is not new information. This is remembrance of what already happened. Our sin has made us enemies of God, and we all lie under his anger and judgment for our sin. But God is full of mercy and full of grace. He has a plan to win us back to himself. He sent Christ to live the life we could not live and to die the death that we deserved. Christ took the judgment our sin deserved so that we could come back to God. If you forsake your sin and turn to Jesus, God will save you. He will wipe out your sins because of what Christ has done. That is the gospel, and that's what we remember here at the table. It is at this table that we remember what Christ has accomplished at the cross. Nothing that we have earned. It is all what Christ has done for us. And that's what we remember. What Christ has done, not what we have done. And on our communion services, there are a few ways besides the bread and the cup that we will remember. First, what I'm going to do is we're going to read the gospel account of Christ's death. There's four gospels, so we'll rotate through the gospels and just say, "This, let's remember his suffering, his pain, his anguish, and his death for us." Today, we're going to read from the Gospel of Mark. Also, we are called to examine ourselves as individuals and as a church before we take of the Lord's Supper. Christ died to free us from sin, not so that we would live in it any longer. And that's a command here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 related to our sin. Examine yourself. So if you're living in sin, you must give it up. It is killing you, it's killing your family, and it's killing the church. So give it up as you come to the table. Secondly, we rejoice in Christ and his salvation. And we see this in here in verse 24. Jesus gave thanks as he gave the bread. He gave thanks. And there is a rejoicing that we see in the Bible over what Christ has done for us. Now, the Lord's Supper is serious. It is weighty. But it is also a time to rejoice. We are now the friends of God. Christ has won us back to himself. The reason for the very serious tone in 1 Corinthians 11 that we just read is that the Corinthians were sinning against one another and partaking of the Lord's Supper. So that's why Paul is so serious here. It's like, you guys are out of order. Some were sick and dying because they were partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily. Now let me give you, how should we come to the table? If we come to the table repentant, saying, "I'm a sinner, I give up my sins, I don't want them anymore, I want Christ." If that is our attitude coming to the table, repentance, we can come rejoicing. So come repentant and come rejoicing. Did you notice what verse 26 says? "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes." That word "show" means to proclaim. So how does the church proclaim the gospel? Well, one of the way is by holding the Lord's Supper and saying, "This is what Christ has done for us." So we proclaim the gospel one way, by partaking of the Lord's Supper. So it's important that when we come to the table, this is not about us trying harder. This is not us trying to improve our lives. This is us remembering that Christ has completely accomplished our salvation for us. Another way we can rejoice is to sing, and that we already do that. And that's something that Christ has given us so that we can rejoice in his salvation by singing. Then thirdly, the Lord's Supper shows that we are one body. Now, flip back to chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. Now, Paul is arguing that the Corinthians should not be involved in idol worship, but the argument he uses is related to the Lord's Supper. So 10:16 says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." Now, something that I might do in the future is actually have a loaf of bread down there and one cup, not to use, but to show, because communion is one loaf, to show that we are one body, and there's one Christ who was broken for us. And there's one cup showing that we are one in Christ. And that's important, even though we have individual crackers and cups. The communion testifies that we belong to one another because we all belong to Christ. So the Lord's Supper is a time to consider our unity as a church. The Corinthians were not united. And Paul says, examine yourselves. So as we come to the table, we are to consider things like this. Do we have any divisions? Do we need to reconcile with anyone? Are we dealing with sin in the church? Are we acknowledging Christ as head of the church? Or we just want to do things our own way? Shows that we are one body. Now, there's some practical ways that we can remember our unity apart from the Lord's Supper, and the first is the benevolent offering. We take that after the Lord's Supper to remember that we are one body and we care for one another. So when we take the benevolent offering after the Lord's Supper, this is a way that we can care for one another. Secondly, and this is new, I am going to read the church covenant after we take the Lord's Supper. Maybe you're not familiar with the church covenant, but we'll hand it out as we take the benevolent offering. But our church covenant puts in a few words what the Bible commands us, how the Bible commands us to care for one another. And so this is something that some other churches do, and I think it's important for us to remember in a few short words, how do we care for one another? Because frankly, look around. If you're looking at a brother or sister in Christ, that is a brother or sister in Christ that Christ has shed his blood for. And we are to care for one another as people who have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. So the church covenant is a way we can express our unity in Jesus Christ. So you have your bulletin, and you can see how the service will go. But the couple of the new elements are reading from the gospel account, and also reading the church covenant. Now you may ask, Pastor, I'm a practical person. How does this help me? Well, communion doesn't make you any more favorable to God. It's not going to fix you. Christ has done that. Christ has made us favorable to God. We celebrate that. So how does communion help us? Does it zap you so that you can, you know, have extra energy to go through the week? How does this help us? So our gazing on the glory of Christ in the gospel is the remedy for all of our ills. Our gazing on the glory of Christ in the gospel is our power to live for him. So how does this help us? When we see Christ, we are empowered to live for him. When we see Christ, we are made more like him. So communion slowly but surely forms us to become more like Jesus. We see Jesus in the gospel. That's important. We see Jesus in the gospel as we take communion. Communion is one of the ways that Christ forms us into people who live for him during the week. So you need to be like Christ. How does Christ make you more like himself? Jesus Christ in the gospel. Look at Jesus Christ in the gospel. So I invite you now to turn into your Bibles to Mark chapter 14, verse 12. And we are going to now remember what Christ has done for us. Mark chapter 14, verse 12, And I'm going to read to the end of chapter 15. And the first day of the unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare, that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sent forth two of his disciples, and said unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall you meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the goodman of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth, and came into the city, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, and say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it, and gave it to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to the place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Could not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter in temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And he again went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh a third time, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him, and lead him away safely. And as soon as he come with them, he goeth straightway to him, and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not. but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with them were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with his servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for the witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bare false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.'" But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." And the high priest rent his clothes and saith, "What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some of them began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say to him, "Prophesy!" And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth." And he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." And he went out to the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." And he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom ye speak." And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereon, he wept. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And he answering said unto him, "Thou sayest it." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee." But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him!" And Pilate said unto them, "Why, what evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him!" And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring unto him to the place of Golgotha, which being interpreted, the place of a skull. And they gave to him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of the accusation was written over, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and build it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, "Behold, he calleth Elias." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us to see where Elias will come down to take him." And Jesus cried with a loud voice, and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out, and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, the less, and of Joses, and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And now, when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he brought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in linen, and laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid.